But first, in a federal courthouse in downtown Phoenix right now, the Goldwater Institute is arguing that the Food and Drug Administration needs to increase transparency of its drug approval process. The centerpiece of the argument is related to how rapidly the FDA made the drug ZMapp available to treat two doctors infected with the Ebola virus. Before he went into court, I connected with John Riches. He's director of national litigation for the Goldwater Institute. I started by asking Riches why the ZMapp availability caught the Institute's attention.
And this was interesting because ZMapp was in the very early stages of drug development. It had yet to go through any of the three FDA processes. But at the same time, the FDA appeared to make this drug available for use very, very fast, faster than we'd ever seen, actually, which was great. The drug ended up working, and that was wonderful. But we wanted to know, with a drug that was this early in development, if it was made available that quick, how could other sick and dying Americans also gain access to investigational drugs? So we asked that question of the FDA in a public records request, and unfortunately, they denied that request, and it did not provide us the information that we were seeking.
Now, John, would you like, in the greater picture, for the government to put more pressure on pharmaceutical companies in this case, or is there something much more specific than that?
Well, it's a little more specific than that. What we want to know, really, is how did the government make these drugs available in an emergency circumstance so that other people who might want access to investigational drugs can utilize that same process? So we really just asked, how did the government do its job in this case, and for the purpose of, can that be replicated later?
So what concerns you about the lack of transparency here? More, again, is this more general, or is this something that you feel like the government is hiding something that could help a lot of people?
We just don't know. When we asked for this information, the FDA claimed that it was covered under a Freedom of Information exemption that is supposed to protect trade secrets and commercial information. Well, we never asked for any of that. All we asked was what government process was used to make these drugs available. So they appear to be raising exceptions and exemptions that don't apply in this case. And it's a little troubling because, frankly, if anything should be available to the public, it should be how the government makes things like drugs available when people are dying and need access to them. So we think that's why this is important and why the public has a right to know that.
Now, are you arguing that this lack of information actually could cost people their lives?
We don't know. We don't know because the agency, because the FDA has refused to tell us. All we want to know is what process was used, how was that process used to make drugs available in the United States? And, if there was some special exemption created in this case, well, then can other Americans also receive the same access to that special exemption?
And the Goldwater Institute is very closely tied to the Right to Try initiatives, which gives dying people a chance to use drugs that the FDA has not approved. Is all of this sort of tied together for you?
It is, in part. There's really two pieces. One, this is just an important government transparency case. Public has a right to know this information. That's why we're going to court to seek it. But second, there is an important public policy issue here as well. As you mentioned, the Goldwater Institute developed Right to Try laws, which basically say, if a drug is through phase one, the first phase of FDA drug approval, and there's a terminal patient, and that patient's doctor agrees that the patient should have access to an investigational medication. By the way, medications that might be available already in Europe and Mexico and Canada, and the manufacturer agrees to supply it, well, then the patient should have access to it, because there might be no other options available to that patient. So that is now the law in 38 states. The U.S. House of Representatives is considering it now. We think that's a very important policy. In this case, this dealt directly with the drug approval process, and it was done in such an unusual way. We think it could shed some light on how better reforms can be done to this process.
Is this a situation that once the hearing happens, is this something that would be on the fast track, or could a judge take a while in deciding the outcome here?
We obviously can't control the, as you said, the court's timeline, but this is being argued on what are called dispositive motions. So we do expect the court to reach a decision after today's argument. This is very likely the last step in the trial court, so we should have a decision one way or the other.
John Riches is Director of National Litigation for the Goldwater Institute. John, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.